Time for us to check in with Mike Cossey and get a look at sports. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I have to start off the sports with this comment, and I love the comment. Of course, Tampa Bay is now known as Champion Bay because of they have the NHL champions 2 years in a row, and also of course NFL. So Tom Brady had this quote yesterday, and I thought it was pretty good. You know, the Stanley Cup can still be thrown because everything feels lighter after some tequila, end quote.
Good for him.
Really? No, I mean, Tampa Bay is the home of champions now, really.
So was Boston when Tom Brady played for New England.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it.
What's the common denominator?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing
stuff. Tom Brady.
Pretty amazing stuff. So what did you think? Did you watch the final game of the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I watched them all. Montreal was outclassed. If it wasn't for the stupid rules of Canada, I would assume that Tampa Bay would have swept Montreal because they weren't allowed to bring their families up. So game four, they would have celebrated in front of nobody. So I don't think they put in 100% effort in game four. They weren't so concerned about a sweep, I think, as to winning at home, which they did Wednesday night.
Yeah.
It was only a 1-0 game, but Montreal was really never in it. And it was, I mean, I don't know what's going on in Canada. People are so ignorant, it's ridiculous. Nonetheless, Tampa Bay won. They won 2 years in a row, and deservingly so. And the Stanley Cup final, excuse me, just points out how good the Islanders actually are.
Yeah.
Because the Islanders took this team to a game seven, losing 1-0 on a shorthanded goal, or else the Islanders win the Stanley Cup. Because in my opinion, there's no way Montreal beats the Islanders. If the Islanders stretched Tampa Bay to seven games, and it was all seven games were highly competitive, the Islanders would have definitely beaten Montreal. So it's just another feather in the Islanders' hat. I know it's a small consolation when you don't win a championship, but the Islanders are definitely the second-best team in the NHL this year.
And on the morning after Tampa Bay won the Cup, I said, Tampa Bay has now won the Cup two consecutive years in a row, and if you're a New York Ranger fan like I am, we consider consecutive years at least 25 to 30 years in between Cups.
More than that.
Amazing.
What was it? What did they win, 94?
They won in 94.
So that's 27 years
27
already.
Years, and before they won in 94.
1940, 54 years.
It was just
so you're halfway there. You got 27 more to go.
Oh, goodness gracious, it's amazing. All right. Really, it's unbelievable. All right. Now, Mike, I've got a great person who just emailed me and texted me because she likes to have fun. Does Mike think England can beat Italy in the Euros final on Sunday afternoon?
Well, I was just getting to that. Actually, I swear, I'm just getting to that. I was so bored the other day, I watched Italy play Spain. And it highly reminded me of why I don't watch soccer anymore. They played 90 minutes. They played extra time, another half an hour, which they split into 15 minutes. God help them if they play 30 minutes consecutively. And then you go to the guessing game. You go to the shootout. Why don't they just bring out a deck of cards and go to the middle of the stadium and play war? Who gets the highest card wins the game. How dumb is this? How dumb is it?
Yeah.
I mean, take a little page out of the NHL's book. I mean, soccer should. I think they play with 11 players. After the first overtime, you play with 10. After the second overtime, you play with 9. And you get it down to where you get it maybe 6. Somebody's going to score. Soccer's so archaic. A friend of mine texted me and said, well, it's like hockey. I said, God, no, it's not like hockey. Italy basically turtled up and played for the tie almost the entire game. You can't do that in hockey. In hockey, every rush can result in a goal. As far as Italy and England, I don't know. Whoever sent in the message, no disrespect. I'll flip a coin. I got just as good a chance of getting a heads tails right as this game. Depends. You got to figure Italy's going to turtle up against England and hope for a shootout again. And at that point, you just flip the coin. Who wins? How could such a big worldwide like sport be so terrible? I don't get it.
All right. Speaking about terrible, the Yankees were shut out by a rookie pitcher yesterday, 4-0 by the Mariners.
There's my next story. Not only were they shut out, the kid retired 18 in a row after the first inning. The guy pitched a one-hitter, retiring 18 batters in a row, only threw barely 100 pitches, and you're taken out of the game. Baseball's shot. Baseball is absolutely shot. Can you imagine anybody pitching a one-hitter, getting 18 guys in a row out, being lifted for a relief pitcher 20 years ago? I'm not even going back to archaic days, as they call it. 20 years ago. Can you see it happening? Yeah. Can you see
the pitcher Al
Leiter being taken out of a game, pitching a one-hitter in the seventh inning, retiring 18 guys in a row?
The pitcher would tell the manager to turn right around.
He'd say, are you lost?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
As a matter of fact,
and the announcers just feed into it. Yeah. They just, like in the college game we spoke about a couple of days ago, they just feed into it. Oh, Gilbert needs to come out. He's pitched a great game. What do you mean he needs to come out? It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And if you're concerned about a pitch count, folks, guess what? It's the All-Star break coming up. This kid's not pitching again until maybe next Saturday. Oh, it's just terrible. But going back to the Yankee demise, they're horrible. If you look at a couple of things you look at, the Yankees' run differential is still in a negative.
Yeah.
They're two games over 500 after playing 86 games. And if you look at the runs scored, where the Yankees are supposed to be this juggernaut, they're the second lowest scoring team in the American League besides the Baltimore Orioles. That just about says it all. This is not Mike with the Yankee hater hat on. This is Mike, the baseball lover.
I've been saying this for the past month and a half. You don't get any bigger Yankee fan than me. The season is so disappointing, and the season is over. And anybody thinks that they can put together a streak and even make the playing game, you're dreaming. But
the Mets are actually in worse shape than the Yankees. The Mets have the lowest amount of runs scored in baseball, 303. 303 runs. They've only given up 300, which is highly in because of DeGrom. If the Mets didn't have DeGrom pitching for them, they would be a non-thought in baseball this year. A non-thought. They would be saying how anemic the Mets are. But because DeGrom is DeGrom, and every game he pitches, they're in and can win. That's the only reason why the Mets have a four-game lead on three teams. If you take DeGrom out of the equation, they're nowhere. Uh-huh. Absolutely nowhere. The Mets hitting is atrocious. 303 runs scored in 83 games.
And there was another no-hitter thrown in baseball this week.
Yeah, and it wasn't even thought of because five guys did it.
Five guys. And it was
a seven-inning, wasn't it?
Yep, five guys in seven innings.
Yeah, so seven-inning no-hitters don't count. Wins do, but no hitters don't. Baseball's in bad shape,
yes,
man.
Sorry shape. They have to change some of these rules back. They have to.
They got to go back to traditional extra innings. Yeah. They got to go to pitchers getting more depth. The only reason why they put the man on second is because teams run out of pitchers.
Yeah.
How do you run out of pitchers?
It's just
because
crazy.
They don't pitch enough.
They don't go
deep enough.
Just absolutely crazy. Crazy.
I don't know if you were on Earth 50 years ago and then you went away for 50 years and you came back and you watched one of the staples of America, which is baseball, and you watched the game, and you'll say, what happened to this thing?
You're right. Hey, any racing this weekend?
Yeah, before I get into the racing, we're going to Belmont for the weekend. Saratoga starts next week, so I'm thinking that I'll be calling in a lot more.
Okay.
There's no races on Monday or Tuesday, but I'll be calling in on Monday if it's all right with you. I'll be calling in on Monday to recap the weekend sports, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday be calling in for some Saratoga plays.
That's great. That's perfect.
All right.
Yep, that's perfect.
All right. So hopefully Belmont will be on the turf tomorrow. They got a couple of grade ones running. I think they will be because Belmont closes Sunday. So I think the grass course, as long as it's not dangerous, they'll be on it. And I think they'll be on it because it needed some water. Unlike pitchers in Major League Baseball, when the grass course won't be used at Belmont, they'll use it because they have a lot of time to rest on it again. The seventh race tomorrow is the Grade 1 Belmont Oaks Invitational, a $700,000 race, going a mile and a quarter on the inner turf where speed's been good. You got the five horse in here coming from overseas for Aiden O'Brien, Santa Barbara's Even Money Morning Line. This horse has only won a maiden race. Even Money Morning Line, I think you can keep that. Couple horses I'm looking at. One is the seven horse, Plum Ali. This horse has run two good races in the fall and the spring at Keeneland on less than a fast, firm surface. It was a good track, and a decently heavy track at Belmont last time out. This horse ran second to the horse I'm going to pick on top again. So the seven, Plum Ali, is going to be a play for me in here. And the other horse is Con Lima. Con Lima, to me, looks like the speed of the speed in this race. On the inner turf, like I said, speed's been golden. Flavian Pratt comes in for the mount. By him just flying to New York, he's probably the second-best rider at the track. So I'm going to go with the one, Con Lima, on top to wire the field in the Belmont Oaks, and the seven, Plum Ali, to round out my exacta. The even money favorite, he beats me, he's not going to be on my ticket. The eighth race, the victory ride, I'm thinking by tomorrow afternoon the dirt will be fast. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the seven, Australasia. This horse won the Jersey Girl on Belmont Day when I was out there. Very impressive. This horse has never lost, 6-for-6, trained by Brad Cox. Has two very nice works coming into this race. To me, Australasia is the choice in this race. Horse I'm going to use underneath is the five, Super Sensational. Again, ridden by Flavian Pratt. This horse hasn't been seen since April. Ran in the eight bells at Churchill, going 7 furlongs. Ran a respective fourth in that race, coming off of the Derby Trail. The Oaks Trail running in the Rachel Alexandra and the Florida Oaks. This time, this horse has only been one turn one time on dirt in her life, and I think this horse gets the job done with two very, very nice works at Churchill, pointing that she's ready for this race. So in the victory ride, we're going to go with the 7, Australasia, and the 5, Super Sensational, to round out an exacta. And then what they call the Belmont Derby, although it's a grass race, this is the counter race of the Oaks for the boys. 3-year-olds going a mile and a quarter on the inner turf again. In here, the favorite, Bolshoi Ballet, who's shipping in from Europe, does have speed. You don't know what kind of speed it is, though, because there's no fractional times ever given in European racing. You just read the line, and it says has speed. So caveat emptor, use a Bolshoi Ballet as you will. Three horses I'm looking at in here. The 6, Hard Love, to me, has some speed. The 8, Cellist, has some speed. Both of these horses run very well on the turf. Both of them have ran 4 times with 2 and 3 wins, respectively. And never been worse than second on a turf. Excuse me, allergies, even in the rain. So the 6-7 I'm going to use in this race, and the other horse is the 5. Du Jour hasn't been out since early May this year at Churchill. This horse has been running on the turf this year. It's completely a different type of animal. 3-for-3 on the turf, all 3 impressive wins. Has won without Lasix, as they run this race without Lasix. So I think the 5, Du Jour, who used to be a Baffert horse, who goes to Billy Mott now, and I'm rooting for this horse big time because what's happening to Baffert is a total injustice. The 5, Du Jour, is going to be my top pick with the 6, Hard Love, and the 8, Cellist, to round out my exactas. So some good racing closing weekend Saturday at Belmont Park, and I think they pony up next Thursday at Saratoga.
All right, Mike, have a good weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.